This morning, being Mother's Day, I do have a Mother's Day kind of message, but I want you to think about this, just a section of the verse from Proverbs 11, verse 16, where the Bible tells us, a gracious woman retaineth honor. Truly, God places a great value on motherhood, a great value on motherhood. I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bible to the book of Genesis. Genesis and chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And before we read any scripture there, I would like to go to the Lord in prayer, and then I'm going to share a poem with you. All right? Let's pray. Lord, we do seek you for your help today, that your word would be clear. I pray that you'd encourage every heart, not just mothers, but that every one of us would receive wisdom and instruction from your word, that the Holy Spirit would accomplish a good work in each heart. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might be saved. And I pray that you'd also help the message of the gospel to be clear this morning as well. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's a few lines from William Ross Wallace. In the 1800s, he penned these words, "Woman, how divine your mission here upon our natal sod. Keep, oh keep the young heart open always to the breath of God. All trophies of the ages are from mother love imperiled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. The influence of a mother is tremendous. It's a tremendous opportunity. Not always utilized, sadly, in our culture today. But definitely an amazing opportunity, an amazing calling from God. And that's what I'd like to notice here this morning, that the value God places on motherhood, it is a heavenly calling. It's a heavenly calling. And that's why I took you to Genesis, because I want you to see just briefly God's design and understanding this is God's plan. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, would you notice? It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness." Here's God creating mankind. This is the sixth day of creation. And God tells us what he's doing here. He's creating man in his own image. Verse 26 goes on to say, "After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So, verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." I want you to notice verse 27 again. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him." And then notice, "male and female created he them." Chapter 2 now of Genesis, verse 7. Chapter 2 and verse 7. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." Verse 18. "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. And I will make him an helpmeet for him." And then we'll skip down to verse 21. "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto him. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. We're reading from the very first chapters of the book of Genesis. We're reading how God created things, how God made the world, how God created man and woman, how God created marriage between one man and one woman for one life. We're reading here how God's design included a mom and a dad. And that is the Creator's design. It is a heavenly calling to be a mother. It's an amazing design. It's God's idea. It's God's design. I recognize that sometimes in the home you may have grown up, we have a lot of different homes represented, even in this small gathering this morning. And you know what? Your home, you may not, some may hear and not know their mother. That's possible. It's indeed possible. But you know, some here may have had a mother who was not a godly example, who didn't love the Lord. I'm so thankful that regardless of the home we grew up in, we can choose to open our heart to God. We can choose to follow the Lord in our life. But I will tell you that I can stand here today with an absolute thankful heart that I had a godly mother, and she is here with us. And I am so thankful. She taught me the Bible from a child. She you know, taught me just about everything I know. No, really. I mean, she was my teacher in school too, which had its, you know, had its contentions, had its rubs. She has gray hair from me, I'm sure. I wasn't the easiest student. But you know what? I am very thankful for a mother who prayed, for a mother who loved me unconditionally, for a mother who loved Jesus and who loved my father, and who had created a home environment that was God-honoring and that was a safe place. And I reread the virtuous woman thing there about how she so busy buys this and makes this and feeds the poor, and you know, a very active, very industrious lady, the virtuous woman we read in Proverbs 31. She was a good woman. The heart of her husband safely trusted in her. Children rose up and called her blessed. And I'm thankful that I had a very faithful mother. And that is a treasure that I will always value. Praise the Lord for that. So it's the Creator's design. What kind of a home will you make? We have some young people here this morning. We have both young ladies. We have young gentlemen as well. And you know what? What kind of home will you create? Will you take the Creator's design? I recognize we've all sinned. And you know, if you're a little older, you probably have a lot of regrets. And maybe, you know, have missed some of the Creator's design. I don't know. But you know what? The fact of the matter is we can come to God and we can get ourselves in line with God, and we can see His instruction for our lives and for what a family is to be and a marriage to be. And we can pattern our lives after the Creator's amazing design. We can seek to do the will of God. And so I want you to understand that the role of motherhood is critical to the Creator's design. In fact, in Genesis chapter 2, there were no children yet born. And I want you to notice when God talks in verse 24 about marriage, notice what He says. Verse 24 of chapter 2 of Genesis. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. Now, Adam didn't have a father. Eve didn't have a mother, okay? They were created by God. But yet, God had this in his plan. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So we see the design of marriage and the family, which is a beautiful thing that God makes, that God made. It's God's plan. I want you to also now go to the book of Titus, totally the other end of the Bible. Titus and chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And we're going to begin with verse 3. We're going to see not only the Creator's amazing design, but we also see the awesome responsibility. Titus chapter 2, beginning with verse 3. Please notice what the Bible says about women, all right? About young women and aged women, as it refers to here, mature women, verse 3. And aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Oh, we can see here in the Creator's amazing design an awesome responsibility. An awesome responsibility. I mean, God lists here part of the role of motherhood to keep the home. I notice that here. To love their husbands, to love their children. Verse 5 there, it says, keepers at home. Now, that certainly doesn't mean confined to the home, but that means that they are a homemaker. They make a house a home. They bring life to the walls of that place. A mother's touch. It is an awesome responsibility to guide the home, to nurture children in the things of the Lord. And so I want you to recognize the awesome responsibility of motherhood. I want you to also notice not only that it is a heavenly calling, but I want you to notice that it's a holy calling. A holy calling. The word holy means to be set apart. In other words, I remember how I illustrated holiness here, probably was a couple years ago, and I think it was with the construction out here. There was some dirt around, and I was able to go out. I think it was a Wednesday night Bible study. I took a plate before the service, before anybody could see what I did. I took a beautiful plate with gold edges on it. I took that out there, and I put some of that dirt, and I, you know, some mud and, you know, clay, and kind of I added ketchup for consistency. And you know what? I smeared it on that plate, and I put that plate back down in here. And then I talked about being holy, right? And we demonstrated with that plate that this is unholy, right? It's a beautiful plate, but it's dirty. It's contaminated. It's, you know, it needs to be washed and cleansed. And Jesus is the one who can cleanse us, right? He's the one who makes us holy. None of us are holy. We aren't born holy. We're born sinners. We got the sin nature, the nature from Adam. We got it from our dad, you know, and passed it on. We're born sinners, and we need the Savior. But the Savior is the one who can wash our sin away. Why? Because he paid the price. He justly took our offenses on himself. That's why Jesus died on the cross. He didn't die on the cross just because they crucified him and, you know, he couldn't help it. Oh, no. Listen, if anybody could help it, the Creator of the world could help it. He could have called. Remember in the garden when he was arrested and Peter had taken his sword and had cut one of the soldiers' ears off? You read the scripture. Jesus said, put away your sword. Do you not know I could call more than 12 legion of angels to come? But how can the scripture be fulfilled? Jesus said. He said, this is what needs to happen so that sinners can be saved. Remember, Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. In the Gospel of John, John, who was pointing people to Jesus, John went out, and when Jesus began his earthly ministry, John pointed to Jesus, to the ones who were listening to John's preaching, and John pointed to Jesus and says, look, there's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God. Jesus gave his life so that you could be saved. My friend, there's no church you can join that will save you. There's no preacher, no priest who can save you. But Jesus can. Jesus gave his life. And if you, by simple faith, call on Jesus, depend on him, he will save you. That's his promise in the Word of God. Salvation is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There'll be no saved person in heaven who will be able to say, hey, I did really good. You know, I'm here because, you know, I helped old ladies across the street, and I, you know, I was kind to my mother, and I, you know, there'll be nobody in heaven who will boast of their works. The only boasting will be in, oh, what a Savior. What an amazing Savior. So if you don't know the Savior today, I'll tell you what. The greatest love you could ever embrace is the love of God through Jesus Christ, who gave his life for you. He treasures you. He loves your soul. And he wants you to be with him. So trust Jesus today. He will make your plate clean. He'll cleanse you. The calling of a mother is a holy calling. It's a holy calling. Holy means set apart. And a mother must be set apart. To be a biblical mother, a godly mother. I mean, let's face it. I'll just say this kindly, but any woman can have a child. But it takes something extraordinary to be a biblical mother. The Bible says her price is far above rubies. Who can find a virtuous woman? She's a rare thing. She's a rare treasure. Gentlemen, remember that. She's a rare treasure. She's not cheap. And I don't mean you have to buy her all kinds of nice stuff. Well, yeah, okay, check that. Buy her nice things. No, I'm not saying that, but a godly, a good woman is not cheap. In other words, they're not just, anywhere you can get them. A godly woman is a rare thing. It's something to be treasured and valued, because you want to look for a woman who walks with respect, who is living a valued life, right? Who is cultivating a heart for God, and it shows in her life. She's a woman of wisdom. She's a woman who's cultivating a walk with God. She has an aura about her that is godly. The call of a mother to be set apart. I want you to, you've got Titus chapter 2 open here, and I want you to notice a few things. There's a lot of things in this short passage, but let's notice verse 4, or actually verse 5. It talks about this mother, this young woman, that she is to be discreet, it says in verse 5. Discreet. Now, what does the word discreet mean? I looked it up in the dictionary. Discreet, of a sound mind, handling oneself well. That's what it means to be discreet. Handling one's self well, to be of a sound mind, a discreet woman. The call of God for a woman is to cultivate that kind of mind, that kind of conduct, that you handle yourself well. I talked about a cheap as opposed to treasured, valuable. You know, if a woman cheapens her worth, that's sad. Or if a woman lacks discretion, that's sad. But you know what? We can move from that area and come to God for cleansing, for wisdom, for discretion. Because we can find what we need. We're not self-born, you know, perfect people. We need God. And all of us do. Just like as a man, we need God to be the man God wants us to be. We are not perfect by any means. That's why we need the Savior, and that's why we need God's help in our life every day, because God is the one who molds us into what we need to be. But we see the calling of this woman. It's a holy calling to be discreet, verse 5 says. Also, it says to be chaste. Now, that doesn't mean there's a lot of guys chasing after her, all right? To be chaste actually means to be pure or modest. The dictionary said exciting reverence. Isn't that interesting? A chaste woman is a woman who excites reverence. Well, what does that mean? That means when you look at her, it's a treasured thing. It's like, wow. I mean, it's something that has awe. It's something, hey, that's a nice lady. And not in the way that's like, hey, look at that, you know, woo-wee, you know. Listen, there's a big difference between a woman who carries herself in a way that is cheap and sexual in nature than a woman who carries herself with discretion and honor. And I'll tell you what, a young girl can carry herself in one of those two ways too. It doesn't have to be a mature woman. A young lady can either of those two ways carry herself. And God wants young ladies to cultivate an attitude, a heart attitude of being discreet, of being chaste, that is, of pure, a modest demeanor. All right? And so, it is a holy calling. The calling of a mother is a high and holy calling. She is to be set apart and she is to be sacredly used. The work sacred means similar to holy. It's all kind of part of the definition of being holy. Something that is sacred, the Word of God is sacred, okay? It's something that we should hold precious. It's not something to scoff at, laugh at. It's sacred. Well, the work of a mother is a sacred work. It's a heavenly calling. It's a holy calling. You know, sometimes in the thick of it, ladies, you know, in the home, it can be overwhelming. It can be frazzling, tiring. But remember, it's a good work. It's a good work. And I want you to come to a last point here this morning. Not only is it a heavenly calling and a holy calling, but it's an honorable calling. It is praiseworthy. It's a praiseworthy work. You know, in our society often exalts the woman in the workplace. Now, I'm not against women being able to work if that's what they'd like to do. I'm not against that in any way, shape, or form. But I do want to actually point, though, to what God treasures in the first and foremost calling of a mother is in raising her children and nurturing them in the things of God. And so the highest calling is that. And so we need to recognize God's perspective. It's honorable to be a mother. In fact, notice I'm going to go over here. You don't necessarily have to go there, but Leviticus 19. That's kind of in the front of the Bible again. Leviticus 19. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. Leviticus 19, beginning with verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy for the Lord your God, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Now notice verse 3. Ye shall fear every man his mother. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. God gives passionate instruction to his people. And he says, listen up. I want you to fear your mother and your father. Now, of course, another word for fear is the word honor. Honor thy father and thy mother. And we need to have that reverence for our parents, to respect them, even at times when they aren't deserving of it. We need to treasure that position that they have in our lives, honoring our mother. I have just a few things that I'd like to share with you of how can I honor my mother? How do I bless my mother? Okay? Well, for young children bless their mother through simple obedience. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. Right? Very simple. Young children honor their mother through simple obedience. Obedience is required. So as we think of children in the home, simple obedience. Now there's more than that. I mean, obviously we can enter into attitudes and things like this. But you know what? Simple obedience is a wonderful way for young children to honor their father and their mother. Teenagers bless their mother through respect and helpfulness. So now we're moving up a little bit in age, okay, to a young person. Not so much just a child, but now a young person growing in some maturity. We're not leaving obedience behind. We're building on it, okay? Respect and helpfulness. So this is going above and beyond. This is not just obeying their requests, what they tell us to do, but this is going beyond that to really be helpful and to show that respect. And so you want to bless your mother. That is a powerful way as a young person, teenagers. Proverbs. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. I got several that I'd like to note in the book of Proverbs. And don't worry, adults. I'm going to have a statement for you too, how to bless your mother. So Proverbs 19, now verse 26. Proverbs 19, verse 26. The Bible says, He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. I think, now it doesn't say what age this child is in this situation, but I think we have definitely the teen years in focus here. It certainly applies. And he that wasteth his father and chaseth away, go away, mom, leave me alone. I don't, you know, that's a characteristic far too often of teenage years. And so the Bible says that we should not do that, that causes shame. Also, notice Proverbs 30, Proverbs 30 and verse 17. Proverbs 30, verse 17. The Bible says, The eye that mocketh at his father. Notice it says the eye. And I'll tell you what, you can speak pretty loudly with your facial expressions. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. God's pretty serious about this. Respect and obedience. Proverbs 6, verse 20. Proverbs 6 and verse 20. My son, Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. And so we can see teenagers need to bless their mother through respect and helpfulness, building certainly on obedience. Capital C, adults bless their mother through care and thoughtfulness. You know, once a young person moves into adulthood, they're no longer under that umbrella. But they should treasure their mom and their dad. And really through care and thoughtfulness. I mean, in my life, I'll just be flat honest with you. I mean, my mother doesn't, I mean, sometimes she tells me what to do, but my mother doesn't tell me what to do. That's not the, you know, that's not the relationship any longer. But that's not that I shouldn't value her words and her instructions, and because I should remember what she taught me. I should value her words now, still. I can seek her for counsel in situations if need be, and I should treasure her, but I should care for her. I should be thoughtful in my conduct towards her and my remembering of her birthday and remembering of other things in her life, other needs in her life. It's my turn to care for her. And so adults honor their mother through care and thoughtfulness. Proverbs 15, verse 20. Proverbs 15, verse 20. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Notice it doesn't say a foolish child. It doesn't say a foolish teenager. It says a foolish man despiseth his mother. And so as adults, we need to value our mothers. We need to care for them, be thoughtful towards them. Proverbs 30, verse 11. Proverbs 30, verse 11. And notice, we are talking about an older, perhaps older group of people. In other words, they're grown and they're adults. Verse 11, Proverbs 30. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. And then Proverbs 23, verse 22. Proverbs 23, 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee. And now notice, why don't you read this with me if you've got it there? Despise not thy mother when she is old. One last passage I'll take you to, Matthew 15, Matthew 15, verse 3, the words of Jesus, Matthew 15, verse 3. And he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying that by the tradition that they were following, he said, if an adult child said to their mother, hey, if I do anything nice for you, it's just from the generosity of my heart. I have no obligation. You know, it's just a gift. If I do anything for you, it's just a gift. And God says, it's not just a gift. God says it's a responsibility for us to honor our parents. And so consider in your life, are you honoring your father and your mother? Are you an honorable child? Seek God for how He would have you to bless your mother. And thank you, mothers, for being here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for your great love to us. Thank you for giving us your Son so that we could be saved, for washing our plate by dying on the cross. I pray that you would help us to honor our mother, not only today, but every day, that we would respect this calling on our life to acknowledge and to honor and care for our parents. Lord, we thank you. I pray that you'd help young children to walk in obedience and teenagers to recognize the need to be helpful and respectful and all those things. Lord, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.